What a joy to be in the house of the Lord. Let me get settled here. Well, good morning, church. On a cold Sunday morning like this, well, I have to say, where I come from, it feels like North Pole. My name is Daniel George, and I have the privilege of leading the International Student Ministry at our Woodstock location. And if you haven't already guessed by my accent, I definitely did not grow up here. I was born and raised in India. My wife, Sharon, and I have two beautiful children, Jeremiah, who is almost 8, and Sarah, who just turned 4. God brought our family to First Woodstock almost 4 years ago, and we are deeply grateful for the opportunity to serve Him here. And this week is especially meaningful for us because my parents are here with us before they travel back to India this week. And I should add that they are very happy to escape this cold weather. I'm really grateful to be here at Roswell Street. This is my first time here, and I am truly honored to be with you all. I want to thank Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Matt, Pastor Christian, Pastor Dan for this opportunity to share today. It's truly an honor. We have been walking through this series, Teach Me to Pray, and we are slowing down and letting Jesus Himself teach how to talk to our Father. And because of the storm last weekend, this series schedule shifted just a bit, so today we are stepping into Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, our text for today. Give us this day our daily bread. And honestly, this verse could not be more timely. This past week with the storm coming, I heard conversations like this. Did you stock the fridge? What if the power goes out? Did you charge everything? And it reminded me how dependent we are on electricity, on technology, on things we don't even think about until they are gone. Just last week, our refrigerator broke down, and suddenly something I never thanked God for became so noticeable. You don't realize how much you depend on simple, everyday things until they stop working. Moments like this expose something about us, not in a bad way, but in an honest way. They remind us how much life is received, not controlled. And that's exactly what Jesus is teaching us in this prayer. Many of us are very familiar with the Lord's Prayer. We have heard it. We have memorized it. Some of us can recite without even thinking. But sometimes the most familiar prayer carries a depth that we have never really explored. But when Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, He's not just talking about food. He's teaching His disciples how to live. At the heart of this verse, Jesus is teaching His disciples to depend daily on their Father as the giver of everything they need. And here is the big idea today I want to hold on to. Because God is our faithful Father, we can release control and trust Him one day at a time. Jesus packs so much into this one short line of prayer, and today we are going to unpack it by looking at 5 life-shaping truths. This prayer teaches us how we live, how we trust, and how we relate to God. Jesus begins this prayer by reminding us something foundational, who the giver really is. So let's begin with the first truth Jesus teaches us here. Truth number one, daily bread means dependence, not self-sufficiency. When Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread, the very first word should slow us down. He does not teach us to say, help me provide, or help me secure, or help me control. He teaches us to say, give. And that one word reminds us of something very foundational. Life is not something we achieve. Life is something we receive. And when life is received, the posture that it forms in us is dependence. Now, dependence does not mean laziness or irresponsibility. The Bible never criticizes hard work or wisdom. Dependence means recognizing everything we have ultimately comes from God. As Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that you have not received? And James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above. That's the posture Jesus is forming in us when he teaches us to pray this way. You can hear the difference in how we talk to ourselves when life feels uncertain. Self-sufficiency says, I'll be okay as long as I can handle it. Dependence says, I'll be okay because God is faithful. For me, this truth has been very personal. I'm alive today because there was a moment when my parents entrusted what they could not control into the hands of God. And having them here today, it's a deep honor for me to share this story. When my mother was pregnant with me, doctors advised her to terminate the pregnancy. They said there were some serious risks. My parents did not have certainty. They did not have any guarantees. They had no control. What they had was prayer, obedience, and trust in God. From the 6th month until the day I was born, my father would pray from midnight till 3 in the morning, standing on his knees, asking God to intervene. And God spoke to them through his word that children are a heritage from God, the fruit of the womb, a reward. And Scripture goes on to tell that even in the darkness and secrecy of the womb, God is at work, that he forms us, that he knows us, that he is faithful even when circumstances are uncertain. When I was born, when the nurse handed me to my mother, she said, she literally counted all my fingers. There were no complications. There was no human explanation for that, only the faithful hand of God. From the very beginning, my life was not self-made. It was given. And that's what Jesus is teaching us here. Every time we pray for daily bread, we are confessing, God, you are the source. I don't sustain my life. You do. I don't control tomorrow. You hold it. Daily bread trains our heart to remember what we forget so easily, that even strong, responsible people live by dependence, not self-sufficiency. Faith does not ask God for the whole plan. It trusts God for today. Daily bread reminds us that God is our source. But once we know who our source is, the next question Jesus answers is when we are invited to trust him. And that leads us to the second truth Jesus teaches us here. Truth number 2. Daily bread teaches us to trust God for today, not worry about tomorrow. He says, give us this day our daily bread, not weekly bread, not stored bread, not a lifetime of supply. Daily bread. Jesus is intentionally training our hearts to live one day at a time with God, because worry happens when tomorrow starts demanding today's faith. That's why just a few words later, Jesus says in Matthew 6:31 and 32, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus isn't denying real needs. He's confronting anxious control as he reminds us that our heavenly Father already knows what we need. This prayer would have immediately reminded Jesus' listeners about the manna in the wilderness from Exodus 16, if you remember. Every morning, God provided bread from heaven, enough for the day, no more, no less. If they tried to store it, it spoiled. Why? Because God wasn't feeding their bodies. He was shaping their trust. Manna taught Israel, you don't live on stored bread. You live on daily dependence. That's why Deuteronomy 8:3 says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Daily bread was never just about food. It was about learning to walk with God one day at a time. That's exactly how God worked in my own life. After hearing the testimony of my birth at a revival meeting where my mom was sharing, God stirred my heart. That night I called my boss and I resigned from my job. That I did not know what was next. I did not know how the provisions are going to come. I did not have any five-year plan, but God spoke to me from the same text, Matthew 6, 31 to 33. So don't worry what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this will be added to you. I didn't have clarity, but I trusted God with the next step. And obedience always comes before provision. This is how God still works in our life. Even now as a family, we are going through a season of uncertainty about the future because of some changes in the government policy that affected the religious worker visa. I'm a religious worker in the United States. We are serving faithfully. We are following the process, but there might be a possibility that we might have to return to India for a season. It's not because anything we did wrong. It's simply because of the situation we are walking through. And with two children, it's not a small thing. People often ask us, how are you handling all this? Here is my honest answer. God has not given us answers for every tomorrow, but he has given us peace for today. As Philippians 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but through prayer, with supplication, with thanksgiving, bring your request to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that peace has been real for us, not because everything is clear, not because the future is clear, but because God is near. And that peace has been our daily bread. Daily bread teaches us that God really gives us tomorrow's provision today. God gives us today's grace for today's obedience. His mercies are new every morning. Like the scripture says in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, his mercies will never come to an end. They are new every morning. God does not call us to solve our entire future. He calls us to walk faithfully today. That's why Jesus concludes in Matthew 6, 34, saying, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God has not promised us to show us every tomorrow, but he promises to give us grace and peace for today. So far, we have seen daily bread reminds us that God is our source, and that if we trust him one day at a time, but Jesus also teaches us what we are actually meant to ask. And that leads us to the third truth Jesus teaches us in this prayer. Truth number three, daily bread teaches us to ask God for what we need, not chase what we want. When Jesus teaches us to pray for daily bread, he's using that word intentionally. Sorry. He does not teach us to pray for luxury. He does not teach us to pray for excess. He does not teach us to pray for surplus stored away. He teaches us to pray for bread. Bread is basic. Bread is necessary. Bread is enough. Jesus is shaping our desires before he answers our prayers. Because God promises to meet our needs, not our greeds. That's why Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9 gives this wise prayer. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for today. Not too little, not too much. Enough. Jesus later in the same chapter as we read says, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God is not guessing. God is not surprised. God is not late. He knows exactly what will be required for obedience, and he provides accordingly. That's exactly how God worked in my life. After God called me to ministry, I did not have a clear plan. I did not know what the next steps would be. I simply served with my parents, traveling to village, preaching the good news of Jesus. I wasn't trying to build a resume. I wasn't trying to pursue a title. I wasn't trying to chase any opportunity. I was simply serving where God had placed me. And one of those pastors' conferences in India, my parents met the president of Southwestern Seminary, and it was completely unexpected, completely unplanned, and he graciously offered me full presidential scholarship. I did not ask for that. I did not plan for that. I did not even know how to pray for that. But God knew that what I would need, because God wanted to equip me for what he was calling me to do. And what I did not realize then is that God's provision did not stop with education. Before that scholarship, I did not even know there's a city called Fort Worth. I had never heard about Cartersville or Woodstock, and certainly I had no idea that God is going to bring our family one day here. When I was studying at the seminary, I used to work at the Computer Learning Center for part-time. That's where I met Pastor Jeremy. He had an issue with his laptop, and we started talking, and a friendship was formed. And through that friendship, it led me to an internship opportunity at Cartersville. And through that, God later led me here at Woodstock. None of that was a plan that I could have mapped out. And step by step, God kept providing the next piece of daily bread. God gives what we need, when we need, and often through people, and almost never the way we plan. Daily bread teaches us to stop asking, how much can I get, and start asking, how do I need to be faithful? As Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and in glory in Christ Jesus. God is a good father. Good fathers don't give everything their children want. They give what they need. Daily bread isn't about abundance. It's about trusting God with enough. So far, we have seen daily bread reminds us that God is our source and that we trust him one day at a time. And even when God provides what we need, life can still be hard. And that truth leads us to the fourth truth Jesus teaches us in this prayer. Truth number four, daily bread shapes gratitude in us, even in suffering. When Jesus teaches us to pray for daily bread, he is not promising a life without pain. He's promising a father who is present in pain. Daily bread does not mean every day is easy. It means every day is sustained by God. That's why scripture can say something that feels almost impossible in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 19. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there is no fruit on the vine, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Notice here, nothing has changed in the circumstances. This verse is very close to my heart. My father, who is a pastor, worship leader, and songwriter for over 50 years, during a particular difficult season in our family many years ago, he wrote this song based entirely on these verses. This song was not written from a place of abundance. It was written in a season of lack. And over the years, this song has not only blessed our family or encouraged our family, but has encouraged the people around India and the parts of the world where people still worship in Hindi language. It taught me something very early on. Gratitude isn't pretending. Pain isn't there. It's choosing to worship in the middle of it. One of the dangers we face is assuming that God is providing, life should be smooth. But daily bread teaches us something deeper. God's provision often shows up as strength, not escape, as peace, not answers, as presence, not relief. I learned this a very personal way during my first year at the seminary. Just a week before my finals, I had a serious accident at the gym. I shattered my left humerus bone. There was surgery. There was pain. There was isolation. There was loneliness far away from home. And in that season, God did not just remove my suffering. He met me in it. God spoke to me through 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Not for everything, but in everything. And that verse reshaped my heart. Around the same time, I came across this story of Matthew Henry, a well-known biblical scholar. After being robbed of his wallet, one day he wrote this in his journal. Let me be thankful, first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who robbed, not, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed, sorry. That story reminded something I have never forgotten. We don't have to allow circumstances to rob us of gratitude. So I began to reflect on my own incident at the gym, and I wrote these things in my diary, what I was thankful for. I was thankful that I did not break my back. It could have been worse the way the weight fell. I was thankful that God gave me strength during that time of accident as I sat in the dorm room for a week with a shattered arm without medical care. I was thankful for the travel medical insurance I still had from India, which was about to expire, which you cannot renew, covered the care I needed. I was thankful for friends, family, and doctors who stood by me. I was thankful for God's promise that all things work together for good, Romans 8:28. And something began to shift. Gratitude redirected my focus for what I had lost to a God who was still holding me. Daily bread forms a heart that says, God, even if today is hard, you are enough. As scripture reminds us that in everything, give thanks. Not because everything is good, but because our God is good. Amen. Daily bread does not remove suffering. It reminds us that God is present within it. So far, we have seen daily bread reminds us that God is our source, and we trust Him one day at a time, and that He provides what we truly need. And even when life is hard, our God is enough. But Jesus does not end the prayer by turning us inward. He turns us outward. And that leads us to the final truth that Jesus teaches us in this prayer, truth number 5. Daily bread shapes us into people who share, not store. This prayer is not just about me. The language Jesus uses here matters. He teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. This is a communal prayer. God does not give us daily bread only for me. He gives us daily bread so it can move through me. One of the subtle dangers of provision is assuming that what God gives is meant to stop with us. No, but throughout the scriptures, you know, God's pattern is clear. God provides so His people can participate in His purposes. Bread is given for strength. Strength is given for service. Jesus makes this very clear in Matthew 25:35. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. Notice what Jesus does not say. I was hungry, and you explained theology to me. No, he says, you fed me, you welcomed me. Daily bread becomes a means of love. One of the greatest joys I have is leading our international student ministry at our Woodstock location, simply sharing what God has given us with the hundreds and thousands of students that he is bringing to Atlanta from over 100 countries. Do you know 1 million international students come to the United States every year? Tens and thousands here in Atlanta. Many of them, they come from nations that are close to the gospel. Many of them have never stepped inside a church. Most arrive far from home, family, far from anything that is familiar to them, and yet God has brought them to our doorstep. Sometimes the most powerful expression of the gospel begins with something very simple. As a church, through our volunteers, what we call them friendship families, we get to welcome the international students in very simple, ordinary ways, very tangible ways. Airport pickup, a shared meal, a genuine friendship. Daily bread becomes a doorway to eternal hope. Scripture reminds us in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him any wrong. You shall love him as yourself. This is not about doing something extraordinary. It's about being faithful with what God has already given us. And that faithfulness can look different for different people. For some, it looks like welcoming the international students. For others, it can look like serving our church warming station on cold nights. Like last week when doors were opened at our Woodstock location, it created a space of warmth, safety, and care for those in need. And for many of us, it looks very simple. Daily acts of love, like checking on a neighbor or showing up when someone is hurting. Daily bread is not always extraordinary. Most of the time, it looks like ordinary faithfulness. When we share what God has placed in our hands, we participate in what God is doing around the world. And Jesus shows us where all this is going in Revelation 7:9. After this, I looked, and there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. The bread that we share today is a part of the gathering God is forming for eternity. God gives us daily bread not just to sustain us, but to send us. What God places in our hands today may be exactly what someone else needs tomorrow. And when you see it in that way, this prayer stops being something we recite and becomes something we live. So as we have walked through this one short line of prayer today, we have seen that Jesus is not just teaching us what to say. He's teaching us how to live. Daily bread teaches us to depend, not self-sufficiency, to trust God for today and not worry about tomorrow, and to ask God for what we need, not chase what we want, to choose gratitude over anxiety, and to share what God gives us with others. And at the end of it all, Jesus does not point us to a system, strategy, or a safety net. He points us to a Father who knows what we need, a Father who is near, a Father who gives day by day. Some of us today walked in this room anxious about tomorrow. Some of us walked in carrying uncertainty. And some of us walked in tired, overwhelmed, and afraid of what we cannot control. And Jesus invites us to pray something much simpler than what we expect. Not, Father, explain me everything. Not, Father, fix everything. But, Father, give us what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. Before I pray, I want you to know that if there is anyone in this room who does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we would love to talk with you and pray for you. I'll be here. Our pastors, our prayer team would be right here at the front. Or maybe you're walking through something heavy, uncertainty, fear, or a need that you did not expect. You don't have to carry that alone. We would be honored to pray for you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today as not as people who have everything figured out, but as children who need you. Thank you for being a faithful Father. Thank you for providing us in ways we see and sometimes the ways we don't see. Teach us to depend on you daily. Teach us to trust you with today. Teach us to receive your gifts with gratitude. And teach us to share what you give us with others. For those who are anxious right now, give them your peace. For those who are uncertain, give them confidence that you are near. For those who feel empty, remind them that you are still giving, even today. Father, give us this day our daily bread and help us to trust you again tomorrow. We pray this in the name of Jesus, a provider and peace. Amen.